Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It would be pretty dreary to stand here and preach to empty pews, but it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I appreciated the report that was given, and I was just amazed at how it went along with my thoughts this morning. And you know what he was talking about is creating a stable environment for people. And you know that's very important, a stable environment, a foundation. You know that is very important. And there's so many people in this world that lack a foundation. You know that? We wouldn't think that. You would think that, especially in the United States, the education system we have, is plenty of things. Family ties, for the most part, are still intact. But we look around us and we see that the foundation has really just, it's kind of gone away. You know, I mean, it's almost disheartened. If you don't get off on a good foundation, then nothing else, it just don't add up. It don't work out. And I appreciated his report at how they, effort there to create a stable environment and a foundation for people. And no doubt it's been a big help in the community, and I could tell from his report that it's been a help. And what a blessing it is to, as a church, as a congregation, to be able to support something like that and see the difference. You know, and so many times in our world we face this at home. Of course, we're just a small rural area, and you want to help. You want to be a help. You want to help in the community, but you just can't give money. You can't just to a lot of places because you don't know where it goes. You don't know what it does, and you find out later on that the money was used for something completely wrong, and it's really disheartening. But whenever you can hear a report of what the stride that's been made, it really makes you feel good.
Amen.
So we're going to look this morning. I want to look at a verse in Isaiah chapter 28, and then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7. And I trust you have your Bibles with you. Trust that you follow along. We was talking the other day. I think Brother, we was talking about one of them. Brother Doug may have made mention about when we get to heaven, we're not going to need our Bible. You know, and I had never considered that. I know that I'm not going to have it. But you know, my Bible is, it says something about it's our guide.
Right.
It's what he was mentioning. And, I've had this Bible for a long time, and it's falling apart. Sections are coming out of it. And so before we went to Honduras, I ordered a Bible. I searched till I found one like mine. And so was getting ready to go, and I could not take the other Bible. I had to take this Bible. And I still use it. And it's because, in my Bible, I tell people, if you look at my Bible, it's not pristine. And it's got notes wrote on the pages. It's got words underlined. It's got thoughts out to the side. And that's because I tell people, okay, so when y'all were younger and I was younger, everybody used a map.
Yep.
Nowadays, people don't even know what a map is. You would stop at any gas station and you could get a map. And you look at that map, and let's say you was going to go to the Smoky Mountains. You was going to go to Cade's Cove in the Smoky Mountains. And so you would get the map out, and you would get, sometimes you'd get an atlas that had different states. And you would get that map out and you would look at it, and you wouldn't just look at it once and fold it up. No, you would get it out and you would take a marker or something and highlight the road. Because as you was on your journey, the driver, you didn't have a GPS there. It says, turn at exit 145. You know, it didn't tell you that. So somebody, the driver couldn't do it unless you stopped. But somebody said, hey, get the map. See where we're at. And but that's the way, and that's the way I treat my Bible. My Bible is a road map for me. But I was just mentioning that because when I turned the pages, it looked like someone was trying to come out. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 16.
Isaiah, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Isaiah chapter 28, reading to verse 16. Amen. It says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone,
Amen.
A precious cornerstone,
Amen.
A sure foundation. Amen. He that believeth shall not make haste."
Amen.
Amen. So we see here that God foreordained and established a cornerstone.
Amen.
And some of you may know and some may not know, whenever you build a building, especially a block building, one that's built out of cinder block or brick, you usually have a cornerstone or a corner brick, and that is the very first one that's laid. And whenever it's laid, they make sure it is perfectly square.
Amen.
It is absolute perfect because everything is measured off of that cornerstone.
That's true.
And if that cornerstone, they put that cornerstone on that foundation, and if it's turned a little bit, and you put a cornerstone
right
back there, and it's turned the slightest, or if it's tilted the slightest, or anything, by the time they get to this end of the building, the whole building's out of whack.
True.
And if, when you're going straight up and down, if it's out just the smallest amount,
true,
it makes the whole wall lean. And so the building goes off of the cornerstone.
Amen.
All right. So we know that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, right?
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to look into that a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to start reading in verse 24. This is the parable of the two builders, is what this is commonly called. And it's in another place in Luke, and I'm going to read some there too later, because it brings out a different point. But Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," this is Jesus talking, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock," or a solid foundation, okay? "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Amen. So we're going to talk about the foundation. Amen. Whenever I look at the parable of these houses, these two houses, I in my mind's eye, I want you to go in your mind's eye there. We're gonna visualize these two houses. Now we know that these houses are symbolic of our lives. Okay?
Amen.
So we know that first off. And you, if you think about a community out here, and they build many houses, and every house, some of them in every house looks identical.
Yep.
I mean identical, the same color siding, the windows are in the same place, the doors are in the same place, the same roof is the same color, and sometimes even the plants around the house is exactly the same.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for the number on the house, you would think it's the other house. And whenever I see this in my mind's eye, I see two houses that look identical. Two houses that perhaps are indistinguishable from each other. And I say that, and using that, we're talking about sometimes we see people that are Christians and those that are professed Christians and those that are completely ungodly. And yet their lives can mirror one another. You know that? People, there are good people in this world.
Sure.
That does not mean that they're saved. And there are people that are religious. That does not mean that they're saved.
Amen.
They're good people. And they have good intention. And they can build a beautiful house. And I'm talking about on the outside. It looks good. It looks like it can stand the test and the storms. Amen. But we see here that everything, even though everything may look the same and may seem stable. And that's what I was thinking about in his report there. And some of the comments that different ones you made about getting to know people. You would think that they have such a stable life, right? You would think that everything is good. And then you come to find out that it just all washed away. What happened? The foundation wasn't good. Amen. It wasn't built. And whenever we talk about the foundation, we're talking about salvation is a sure foundation.
Amen.
You know that? And the brothers mentioned about a guidance. You know what I mean? They don't just provide a place for people to sleep, but they try to provide guidance. They try to build a foundation. But I tell you what, the Bible says is there's no other foundation can be built than Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, no matter how bad things look, or really no matter how good things appear, whenever we build on Jesus Christ, that solid foundation, then we have a foundation that will stand the test of time. It'll stand the storm. It'll stand the severe weather. And we all know what severe weather is.
Sure.
I mean, Brother Doug took me down to the marina and was telling me about the storm surge that came up. And at many of the houses, they just wiped them away. They was gone.
Yep.
Amen. But you know what? Not every one of them was wiped away.
Right.
There was some of them that was built to stand that kind. Those are the people that had been there before for a long time.
Yep.
And they understood the area. But you see, what happens is you get newcomers that come in, and they think that they can just build any way, just like you do anywhere else, and it will stand the storm. And we have that same problem in Louisiana. Along the coast, you get some that come in, and they think, well, you know, building codes say this is a better way to build. And people say, no, don't do that. Don't build it like that. It's not going to work. And they say, oh, yeah, inspectors and engineers says it'll work.
Yeah.
And what happens? You have a catastrophe. And then people lose their homes. That exact thing happens spiritually. It happens spiritually.
Amen.
We live in a religious world. And I say religious because that's what it is. We live in a very religious... The United States is probably one of the most religious countries in the world. But I didn't say they were Christian. I said religious.
True.
And the religious world, a lot of times, will pat people on the back and say, you're doing good, just keep doing what you're doing. There's no challenge to do better. There's no challenge to get closer to God. There's no challenge to go deep in their experience. Amen. But the difference in that and salvation, the Holy Spirit continually challenges us.
Amen.
Amen. He continually gives us checks. He continually shows us ways that we can improve ourselves. Amen. And not at the detriment of others. No, we don't improve ourselves by stepping on other people.
No.
And that's the way the world is. And sadly, that's the way the religious world is. Right? They usually gain by pushing someone else down or making someone else look bad. Amen. But when we're on Christ, the sure foundation, amen, we grow and draw closer to Him. We dig in and we become better Christians.
Amen.
No, not just better people in society. We become better Christians.
Amen.
Amen. And whenever we're growing and the Holy Spirit is challenging us, then He is showing us things that we can better ourselves. And this week already, I've heard people say that message was for me. And I say, the message is for me. Right? And the only way we can say that is if the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. And when He speaks to our heart, then we have a choice. We can stay on the foundation, or we can get off of the foundation.
It's true.
There's only two choices. And if we're off the foundation, we can choose to get on the foundation. Amen. But that's the beautiful thing about the foundation. Amen. Being founded upon Jesus Christ. Amen. Not upon my ideas. No, I don't get up here and preach my ideas. And I know Brother Doug don't preach his ideas. Amen. A true man or woman of God is not going to get up and preach ideas.
Amen.
No, I'm not going to preach my ideas. And I'm not going to tell you what I think. Because what I think don't matter. What my ideas are, it doesn't matter. It might be a good idea. But I go by, thus saith the Lord. Because that is the foundation.
Amen.
And if you build up on my ideas, one day it's going to fail.
That's right.
Amen. That's true.
You build up on my ideas, one day it's going to fail. Amen. That's just like the brother was talking about with the place there. They have a proven idea, a proven foundation, that helps people.
Amen.
But let's say he decides, well, you know what? I think I can change this a little bit. You know what's going to happen? It's not going to have the same effect. It's not going to, because they get off of the foundation.
True.
And brothers and sisters, that's the way it is. This morning, when we're living our life for Christ, and regardless of how hard things seem sometimes, and regardless how challenged we may seem, amen, it's best to stay on the foundation.
Amen.
Because we want our spiritual house to stand the test of time. Amen. We want our spiritual house to stand the storms. Amen. And there are storms of life. They come every day to everybody. I tell people at home, I don't know how people that aren't Christians make it in life. I don't.
Amen.
I mean, I have faced some severe battles in my life.
Sure.
I mean, severe battles. And I couldn't talk to anybody else about it. Some things I can't even talk to my wife. You know what? I can always talk to God about it.
True.
Amen. I can always go to Him. That's a foundation I know is always going to be there. And if I just stay on the foundation, if I stay tied to Him, I know that everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 127. Amen. Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, "Except the Lord." Right? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
Amen.
Except the Lord build the house. Now think about that. We're talking about our spiritual house.
Amen.
Amen. We can't build our own spiritual house.
True.
You know, I talked about being on the foundation. And that's the thing that we can do, but we can't build our spiritual house. We had to have a Savior. Amen. And that Savior was Jesus Christ. He came into this world and lived and showed us the way to live. And He died to give us salvation. He died to build our spiritual house, to give us that opportunity to build a spiritual house. And except the Lord build the house. You see, that's why the house failed. It wasn't the Lord building. And we see that every day. People labor and they strive. And they strive to build a life. You know that? They strive to build a life. And they strive to build a good life for their families. They strive to build a good life in the community. And what happens? It crumbles. It goes to nothing. Because it's not built on a sure foundation.
Amen.
Except the Lord build the house, they that labor, they labor in vain that build it. And then it goes on to say, except the Lord keep the city. And that's talking about our spiritual habitation.
Amen.
Unless the Lord keep
Amen.
Us. Amen. The watchman watches but in vain. Amen. And except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord have charge of our soul, we can't help ourselves.
Right.
We can't even fight the enemy.
Amen.
That's why so many people that are in addiction, amen, whenever they just try to better themselves instead of going and asking God to deliver them, what happens is, sure, they can quit for a little while, and with a little coaching and a little help and some positive peer reinforcement, it'll help. But unless they are delivered, and I mean delivered by the power of God, then eventually they will go back into that.
Yep.
I have seen it time and again. My brother is a perfect example, and you all know my brother. And we used to work together, and people was amazed that he was strung out on crystal meth. They could not believe it. And they asked him, well, what happened? And he said, God delivered me. They said, what program did you go through? He said, God delivered me. He said, I was strung out. He was living out of his truck. He would go days without eating. He would go days without bathing. He was working on a farm. And what hours he slept in his truck. He was down to, I think, around 160 pounds. And you all know my brother. He's bigger than I am. And he was down to nothing. To nothing. And he came, I'll never forget, he came and he got saved in a convention one year, and God delivered him. He delivered him from drugs. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. Amen. And God took that taste out of his mouth. He took that looking for that high, looking for that enjoyment, just a little bit of enjoyment. If you ever talk to a drug addict, it's not hours of pleasure. It's not days of pleasure. It's a few seconds of pleasure.
It's true.
And that's why they go so far and so deep. They're just looking for that few seconds of pleasure. Amen. But God delivered him. Amen. And that's because he got on a sure foundation.
Amen.
And you'd look at him today, you would never even know. You would never even consider that he was on drugs. But that's because God does a perfect work.
Yes.
Amen. When we get on that foundation and we stay on that foundation, he will teach us. He will lead us and he will help us to grow.
Yes.
I didn't say he would make us grow. Right? He don't make us grow.
It's true.
But he leads us. He guides us. Amen. He promised that he walked every step of the way.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Unless the Lord keep the city, unless the Lord is the Lord of your life, then you're living in vain. I'm telling you this morning, you're living in vain. If the Lord is not God of your life, then you're living in vain.
Amen.
You're fighting in a world of sin, a world that is, it seems like Satan is on every hand trying to destroy everything we know. I don't believe I'm the only one that feels that way. No, that's what we see. Amen. Psalm 11, chapter 3. While we're in Psalm, let's look at that. Psalm 11, chapter 3. And there's another verse in Psalm that goes with it. But I'm going to look at 11, chapter 11 and verse 3. And then we're going to go to Psalm 82. But Psalm 11 and verse 3, it asks a question. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's talking about the foundations of the world. The foundations, let's like the civil foundations. Okay? And we know that God has set things in place. God ordained the family. God ordained things to work in order. But here it asks the question, if those foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous, they can hold on to God. But you think that the foundations can't be destroyed? Let's look over here at Psalm 82 and verse 5. And here it's talking about the foundations being destroyed. And it says, I'm just going to read one verse here. And it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Are unstable. That's another word. They're unstable. And I'm going to tell you, friends, saints, sinner, look around us.
Right.
It's true.
The very foundations that we thought would never be disturbed.
That's right. Right?
The family. I mean, even civil foundations, right? Even a lot of the foundations around us that we grew up established in. And in a family home, right? In the community. Even foundations in the community where everyone knew everybody. Everyone looked out for one another, right?
True.
In the family, people loved one another. They helped one another. Even in the community, it was not uncommon for people to go and just help their neighbor. Just to help the neighbor. And look around us. Those very foundations are out of order.
True.
I mean, they're so far out of whack, and you look and you say, I never would in a thousand years have expected to see this happen. Amen. Doubtless to say, people in these houses on this street, some of them don't even know their name. You know that?
It's true.
I would imagine that some of you don't even know who your neighbor is. 20 years ago, that would have been uncommon. 50 years ago, that would have been unheard of. 50 years ago, That whole neighborhood would raise your children for you. And what I mean by that is they helped one another.
Yep.
Amen. They looked out for one another. Amen. If you went on vacation, you didn't have to lock your house because your neighbor's going to come to make sure everything's okay. Amen. You go to bed at night, you didn't lock the doors. No, you parked your car out on the street and left the keys in the ignition. Amen. You might go down to the store and walk in and leave your keys in the ignition, not even think nothing of it. Amen. But those very foundations, they're so far out of skew. They're so far out of whack that it makes us wonder. I mean, sometimes even it's fearful. In the community we live in, you don't know. You just don't know. Even our little community. I talked the other day. We used to say, well, that'll happen in Baltimore. It never happened here. But there was a time when you would say, that happened in New York City. That never happened here.
True. Amen, brother.
There was a time that you would say, that happened overseas. It wouldn't happen here.
True.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you, it's right here.
Amen.
Amen. It's right next door to you. Why? Why? Because Satan is rampant.
Yes.
Satan is out to destroy the very foundations that we know. The very foundations that we have comfort in. The very foundations we thought would always exist. Brotherly love.
Amen.
Huh? Neighbors. Neighborly love. Neighborly kindness. Yes, we thought those things would always exist. But we live in a world where people don't want you knowing their business.
Yeah.
Amen. They build a fence between your property and you better not weed eat my side of the fence.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's the way it is. If the weeds go through the fence, you better not kill that weed. It's on my side. I'm telling you the boundaries that people have placed because there's mistrust. And they don't trust anybody. No one trusts anybody anymore.
Amen.
No, it seems that no one even thinks of other people anymore. Amen. People are so concerned about their own welfare that they don't take time to think about others. Why? Because the foundation is skewered.
Amen.
The foundation's wrong. Amen. And that is Satan's job, and he's done a good job of it. Of destroying the foundations. Amen. Destroying the things that we know. And every one of you know what I'm talking about is true. You know it's true. I don't have to get up and tell you that. I'm just bringing it to your minds. Amen. We're talking about the foundation, the only foundation that still stands sure. And that is Jesus Christ. That is salvation on a sure foundation. If you don't build on that foundation, what do you have?
That's right.
What do you have? Yes, we try to be lights in the community. We try to show love. We try to show brotherly kindness. We care for one another. But how far does it go? A lot of times people will jeer at it. They don't want nothing to do with that. No, they think you're being nosy. They don't really see the heart of love. You know that people don't see that. They think maybe you're out to get something from them.
That's true.
Man, that lady brought me a pie, but she must be after something. That's the way people think.
It's true.
You get a family move in the community and you might bring them something. They say, what do they want? And they must have seen something I have. That's the way people are. Why? Because the foundations are gone. They're gone. They're not fractured. No, they're not broken. They're destroyed.
Yeah.
The foundations are destroyed. And the only hope for mankind is to see salvation working in its truest sense.
Amen.
To see people building on a genuine foundation. Amen. No, not trying to puff ourselves up. That's what we see in the world. People trying to puff themselves up. How good they are. You listen to a preacher on TV and he talks a good message. The next thing you know, he's talking about how many jets he's got. Next thing you know, he's talking about the kind of car he's driving, how much he paid for his watch. I'm talking about he's supposed to be preaching a gospel message. And he's talking about what he has and other people don't.
That's right.
That's the foundations around us. I'm telling you, if we don't get back to the foundations, we're going to be in trouble. We're already in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen. And we need to show the world that the foundation of God standeth sure.
Amen.
Amen. But the verse asks, what can we do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can we do? We can strengthen our foundation. You know that? As Christians, we have to strengthen our foundation. Amen. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. Every one of us this morning, we're on a foundation. Some type of foundation. Now, even shifting sand is a foundation for a little while. That's why the house could stand. And you know, sand, if you have a form around it, you can pack sand and it will pack tighter than concrete. Did you know that? You can pack sand to what they call zero compaction. Zero compaction means that it will not compact anymore. And you can do that with sand if you add water to it and it has a form around it. But as soon as you remove that form and the water evaporates, it goes to nothing. Amen. But we're talking about a sure foundation that will stand. We're talking about building on a sure foundation. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses there. And it says, and starting in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, he's talking about things that he's talked about in the foregoing verses and chapters. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Amen. So when we're not sitting there, what can we do is we can strengthen our foundation, our spiritual foundation.
Yes, amen.
And what he's talking about there, he says in verse 7, is refusing profane and old wives' fables. In other things, we need to refuse things that do not edify the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where so many have gone astray. And we all know people that have gone astray. They start out so good. Even preachers sometimes, they start out so good. And Christians. And what do? They start giving ear to something that's not Bible.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. They start giving ear to something that sounds good. It's got to be right, Brother Doug. It sounds right. And maybe, Brother Doug, you're not preaching that right because this here sounds better. Or this makes more sense. You know, that's what happens. We start listening to things. I tell you what, I grew up in a family that some of them was very superstitious. And they would almost make you believe that that was the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you, superstitions, but that's the exact same thing we're talking about here, right? There are a lot of people that stand up behind the pulpit Sunday to Sunday and they preach their ideas.
Yeah.
And it sounds so close and so right, it's got to be right. I got to do those things to go to heaven, or I don't have to do those things to go to heaven. Amen. But what is he talking about? We got to refuse that and stay on the foundation. Amen. We got to refuse those things and exercise rather unto godliness. What is that talking about? The things that show God in our life. Amen. That's what we got to do. We got to grab hold of it. Some things, you know, I think it was Ezekiel or Jeremiah, he says he found the word and he eat it. And one of them said it was sweet to his mouth and bitter in his stomach. And, you know, sometimes that's the way it is with the word of God. The Lord speaks to our heart and we take it in readily. Lord, that's for me. But then after we do it, we realize, man, it's a little harder than what I thought it was. But you know what? God will always give us grace to grow.
Right.
He will always give us grace to grow and strengthen our foundation. It's whenever we start refusing things that God shows us that we get in trouble. You know that? We get in danger. We're in danger of getting off of that foundation. Amen. He says, but rather exercise thyself unto godliness. And some of the things, the way we do that is by reading and studying the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Amen. Doing things that profits the body of Christ. Amen. Even outreach in the community. It's a profit to God. It shows that we are genuinely love and care for other people. There's things that we can do to show that we have Christ living in us. You know that? We don't often think about that. But the way that we treat other people is a big indicator of the life that we have with Christ.
Amen.
I remember joining a group years ago. And there was people there from all walks of life. I mean, any religious sect you could think of. And this guy got up and he said, in order to make this business grow, He said, I'm not telling you have to be a Christian. He said, I'm going to tell you this. You have to do what Christ taught. And I thought about that. He, in his business life, he realized the value of what Christ said. Love your neighbor. Treat your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others. You know what I mean? And all those things. He said, you don't have to be a Christian, but if you want to be successful, you got to do the things Christ taught. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be successful Christians, I'm not talking about successful in life. I'm talking about successful Christians. Yes, we've got to live what Christ taught.
Amen.
Amen. There's no other way. You can't even be successful in business if you don't do what Christ taught. Amen. It says, but for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. And what he's talking about, all the promises that are in the Word of God, they're for us. Amen. If you're a Christian this morning, every promise in the Word of God is for you. Everyone, having promise of the life that now is. He promised that we could have a full and meaningful life. Amen. A life of joy. A life of contentment. And one scripture says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And truly it is this morning. There's people, look at people in the world. They're never satisfied. They're always trying to get more or do better or have something bigger than somebody else and never content. Amen. But whenever in this Christian life, we can be content. Amen. Then it says, and having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And that promise of the life that is to come is the most precious promise we have.
Yes, man.
And that is heaven.
Amen.
Amen. That is eternity. Amen. In the presence of God Almighty.
Yes, man.
Amen. I preached a message one time and I entitled it Longing to Go Home.
Yes.
You know that? And there is a longing. Sister Ann talked about the other day. You know, as we get older, we have a longing sometimes to go back to the place we were raised.
That's right.
Not to the what it is today. We have a longing to go back to the place we were raised as it was when we were raised.
That's right.
Why? Why is that? It's because there's an affection there.
Yes.
There's a love that we remember, right? There's things in our memory. Sometimes you can be walking down the street and smell a smell. And it immediately transports you back to home.
That's right.
Amen. It's amazing. When I lived in Hagerstown, we lived around Hagerstown, there was a certain flower that my neighbor, as I was growing up, he had. He had a big tree of it. And it's a jasmine. And they didn't have them a lot up here. And there was one place that I was driving by, going to work one day. I was on my motorcycle, and I smelled it. And man, I smelled it, and immediately, it was just a whiff. Just like you're driving by in your vehicle, and you get just a scent. And immediately, it reminded me of that. And so, what I did, I was on my motorcycle, I turned around, and I drove past it again to pinpoint where that was. Then I started looking for the bush that made those flowers. And when I found it, I made a mark in my mind that to drive by that place. Because it reminded me of home.
Yes.
And that's the way we all are, right? We have a longing to go back to that. But I'm going to tell you what, as a child of God, we have a longing for a place we've never even been.
Amen.
Amen. There's a place that we don't have no idea what it's going to be like. We can't even fathom it. But yet there's something inside of us that gives us a longing to be there one day. And I want to be there.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we have is promise of the life to come.
Praise God.
Amen. What a beautiful thought that we're a Christian this morning. We stay on that foundation. Regardless of the storms, regardless of the battles that we go through, if we stay on that foundation, we're going to be in heaven. What a beautiful thought. The
Amen.
Promise of that to come. Amen. Amen. It says, therefore we labor. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And that's why we continue on. You're going to face persecution. I'm just telling you. These houses out here that are built, they're going to face storms. They have to. They have to be able to endure the storm. If you can't endure the storm, you're not going to make heaven your home.
That's right.
You know that? If you can't endure the storm, you're not going to make it. And this morning, we suffer reproach. We suffer ridicule. We suffer being talked about. Sometimes we suffer being mocked. And you know, sometimes you would think people that you wouldn't even think talk about you. You walk in a room, it gets quiet. Because they've been talking about you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess Tim was at church Sunday. Yeah. You can tell he's got a big old smile on his face. I wonder what he's laughing about. I wonder what he's smiling at. What's there to smile? What are you smiling about? Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see you're always happy. Why are you always happy? You ever look around you how bad the world is? You ain't got no reason to smile. I don't have no reason to smile. You know, that's the way people are. Amen. But I tell you what, whenever we got Christ on our side, we're on that foundation. Amen. We suffer reproach because we know that God is going to be with us.
Amen.
And I tell you this morning, if you don't know what it's like to have God on your side, you can know this morning
Amen.
Before you leave here what it's like to be on that foundation, to what it's like to be upheld by the right hand of the living God. You know that?
Amen.
You can understand that. You can. It's hard to fathom it when you hear somebody talk about it. But once you experience it, once you experience it for yourself, it's like no other.
That's right.
You know, that and the Bible says in one place, it's peace that passeth understanding.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And you know what I talk about, that there's peace. What the world considers peace is peace absent of strife.
Yeah.
Amen. So they're over there talking. They're trying to get people over in the Middle East to make peace. And what they mean there is not peace. And what they're talking about is no strife. Right? Or no war. But the peace that God give us is peace in the midst of strife.
Amen.
He don't take the strife out. No, he don't take the battle away. He don't take the pain away sometimes. But he gives us peace in the midst of it.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, that's a peace that the world will have no idea what it is.
True, amen.
Amen. And that can only be found on the foundation. Amen. So let's look at our last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Let's look at 14. Let's just start there at 14 down to 19. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. We talked about that a while ago. But to the subverting of the hearers. So some things that people talk about, it actually destroys people. Study to show thyself approved unto God. No, not trying to outdo one another, but approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Amen.
Having this seal. Now look at this. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
Amen. So what he's saying here is, if you're going to say that you're building on the foundation, then your works better show what your life is.
That's true.
Amen. That's what he's talking about. If we say that we're Christians, we better depart from sin. Amen. We got to depart from it. You can't be a Christian. You can't build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and do things your own way.
Right.
I can't build on Jesus Christ and do it my way. I don't have that choice. He says here that I have to depart from iniquity.
Amen.
In other words, I have to leave sin. I have to get off of the foundation of sin and on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because that foundation of sin we talked about It's unsettled. It's sand. It's shifting sand. Amen. It might appear good for a while. It might work for a while. But what is the foundation going to be when we come to stand before Almighty God? What is your foundation? Whenever we stand before Almighty God, He's not going to say, well, you built a good structure. He's going to say, was you on the foundation? Was you in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
That's what He's going to ask. Was you founded and built upon Jesus Christ? Amen. And that's the question we all will have to answer. So it behooves us now to answer that question for us. Every one of us have to answer, am I on the foundation? Am I striving to stay on the foundation?
Amen.
And that's what it comes down to. Some of us has been saved for a long time. Some of us has been on that foundation. Amen. And things, like I said the other day, the cares of life, they have a way of shifting us on that foundation sometimes. Amen. You heard the statement that says it shakes you even to the core.
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Shakes you even to the core. And things happen like that. Amen. And that is why God has made provision that we can rest in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can stay on that foundation because it stands sure. That foundation will never have a crack in it.
It's true.
That Amen. Foundation will never have a fracture.
Amen.
You'll never have to get an engineer to come in there and shore it up. Amen. That foundation is solid.
Amen.
It will stand the test of time. If this world lasts another million years, then that foundation will be solid.
Amen.
You know the foundations of a building? A lot of times you find an old structure and it'll look good on the outside, and you start doing a little prodding whenever we buy houses, and we start looking and we look for signs of foundation failure. Amen. And a lot of times it ain't even evident. You know that? A lot of times you can't tell until you start doing a little probing. You start doing a little digging. You got to pull some carpet back and get a little good look at the concrete. Sometimes you got to walk around with a shovel and dig at the foundation a little bit to see if it's good. But I'm going to tell you what, with Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to worry
Amen.
That foundation is going to crack.
Amen.
You don't ever have to worry that your house is not going to stand Amen. The test of time, because Jesus Christ is a sure foundation.
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about Christ this morning, the sure foundation. If He's not your foundation this morning, He can be.
Amen.
Amen. And even as Christians, if we find ourselves getting shaken, if we find ourselves not being able to weather that storm like we should have, it's time for us to take account. It's time for us to stop and look. Just sit back and ask. Sometimes we've got to ask ourselves the hard questions. You know that? And that's a lot of times you can't get answers until you ask yourself the hard questions.
Amen.
And that's the questions we don't like to ask ourselves. Am I doing what God requires of me? Am I doing all that I know to do? No, I don't have to do what Brother Doug knows. I don't have to do what Brother Herschel knows. I'm not required to know what Brother Herschel knows.
Yeah.
I'm not required to know what you know and to do what you do. I'm required to do what God shows me
right.
in my heart and in my mind, revealed through the Word,
Amen.
The preaching and reading. Am I doing those things that I know to do? Not the things that I think, the things I know. And God speaks to our heart. And as I said the other day, we was talking in conversation, and when God shows you something, you can't unsee it.
Amen.
You can turn a blind eye to it for a while, and you can think, well, I didn't really see that. And you can go on, but you know what happened? God has a way to bring it back. You'll read it in the Scriptures, and sometimes you close your Bible and open it up again, there's another Scripture that says the same thing.
Yep.
Close your Bible and say, I'm going to read something different. You thumb through a while and you'll start reading, and next thing you know, it's saying the same thing. You can't get away from it. Why? Because He's trying to show us something.
Right.
And so we got to ask ourselves the hard questions. Am I doing what I know to do? Am I doing what God has showed me to do?
Amen.
Am I staying on Christ, the sure foundation? God bless you this morning.
Amen.
you'd like to get a songbook, stand, turn to page 143. The message. Back in Daniel, the word tells us there's only one foundation that shall last. Every other foundation will fail. It yes. will fail. Every kingdom, every nation, everything that we support, our own selves, it will fail. And Jesus Christ is that only true foundation. I was thinking as he was preaching and thinking of examples of foundation. You know, a foundation is something, a structure that is not movable. It's solid.
That's right.
And, you know, as we live for God, you know, we need to keep touch with that foundation. You know, I'm thinking about this altar, this rail up here. Many of you probably don't even know it, but, you know, as we get older, I don't close my eyes anymore and pray without touching something. You know, I start this stuff, you know. So when Mark comes up here and gets the plate, I walk up here, I sit one toe on that altar and I hand it to him. I might put knee, but I don't leave my toe off there until I'm done praying. Sister Ann comes up here, she grabs a hold of that to help her get up there, and maybe some of you do. During some storms, we may need I need to touch you, Lord. But you know, Brother Tim could come up here and push me and just a little bit and I'll fall off. But when the storms really come, we don't need to just touch Jesus. We need to hold on and maybe wrap our arms around him. We need to grab in tight. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize that. And sometimes people, it's interesting to see people. Sometimes they just like to touch somebody. Just like they don't have children. They'll sleep or something. They just have to touch their parents or whatever. But there's sometimes they don't want to touch them. They want to be in their laps wrapped up around their arms. And that's what Jesus wants.
Amen.
Jesus wants us to be around him all the time. I mean, sometimes we just, Lord, I want you to make sure I'm there. But when those hard storms come in. You know, I brought a message many, many, many years ago. Aunt Sissy was still alive, and the Lord brought this thought about foundation. You know, as I may stand here and I may touch this altar and I may hold on to it, and just a little breeze may not move me. But a hard storm or a hard strong or somebody can push me off of here. I can be washed away. I can be washed away from the foundation. But that foundation will never move. And I thank God that even sometimes people get washed away. They get up, they realize I need to get back to the foundation.
Yes, amen.
The foundation's sure. It didn't get washed away. I had a friend of mine, I believe it was when Louisiana had a bad hurricane come up through there many years ago. And he was on the Habitat for Humanity. And he went down there with his church, and he come back, and he showed his pictures. It was just miles and miles and miles. Houses were gone. The only thing that was left was concrete slabs where houses used to be. And that had been years later after that storm came through. Jesus Christ is that foundation. It will not move. It'll be there. It'll always be there. And thank God when we come back, we can take a stand on that sure foundation. What are you standing on this evening, this morning?
Amen.
What foundation? You're standing, as he brought the message, you're standing on something. I'm not talking about literally, spiritually. You're standing on something. Is it Jesus Christ? Because that's what's going to last by the grace of God. Verse 3 and 4, if there's a need in the audience. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death's night is coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Amen.
Appreciate the message and thoughts. Tim, one more service this evening at 6 o'clock. Pray for him and God to bless him in a special way. You want to mention Linda? Where we're going, you just want to mention it? No. So as we always do after morning service, we always get together and have a meal. What's the place called?
Bon Appetit.
Bon Appetit, right up the street here, about a block or so. We went there last year. Welcome to come and join us if you'd like to. And it's an Italian restaurant, so you're more than welcome to come, those that would enjoy to come.
They still do separate checks with us.
What's that?
They still do separate checks.
Yeah, they'll be able to do separate checks if you need to. So. Anything else we need to mention before we dismiss?
Brother Joe, would you come back and anoint me and pray for me? I'm having a problem with my leg.
Sure.
Amen.
You may
Lord,
September.
Saints us all be with you.
Yes.
Our Father in heaven, we come before you, O Lord.
Yes, dear.
Father, as I mentioned in the service and the message this morning, that we have hope for the life that now we have. And Father, that hope that you've given us, Lord, is it said that by your stripes we are healed.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And you see your daughter here, Lord, and she has a need in her life.
Amen.
And Father, we know that you provided healing for her body this morning, Lord. So, Father, we put a rebuke against this pain, this whatever has happened, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would touch her leg. Father, that you would make her complete, Lord. Lord, that she'd be able to get up and walk, Lord, and not have any trouble. Father, we know that we can put our trust in you. Amen. We put a rebuke against the enemy. He's a liar. He puts doubts in our mind. And we stand against that doubt. We stand against that infirmity, Lord, and we put our trust in you. Father, just like the man said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief.
Yes,
Father, you know our hearts. So we ask, Lord, you would touch your daughter, Lord, and she would be made whole. And Father, that she would have a testimony to
yes,
give
Lord,
you
thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.